The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Cinema by the Campfire, where I reminisce and analyze the films I believe have really influenced the world of cinema. I'm your host, Odyssey, and it's my job to take you on that journey. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome back to another episode of Cinema by the Campfire. I'm your host once again, Odyssey, and since this is the second episode, you could call this a sequel, which will be the topic for today. Sequels are pretty common among many mediums, literature, video games, and obviously movies. The concept is nothing new. It's been around for ages, older than some of the mediums mentioned. But there are also other terms that relate to sequels, like reboots, remakes, and prequels. It can get a little confusing, but I'll go more in depth as the episode goes on. So let us begin with the main topic, sequels itself. According to Oxford Languages, the textbook definition is, and I quote, "A published broadcast or recorded work that continues the story or develops the theme of an earlier one," end quote. I've seen many movies, and I've seen many sequels to movies, but what makes a studio want to create a sequel in the first place? For me, to have a continuation of a series, firstly, it must be popular enough to even elicit a sequel. If it's popular, that usually means it made a lot of money. So obviously, studios would want to replicate the same success and expect the same outcome, which doesn't always happen the way they want it to. And at the end of the day, money is the ruler of all. It makes sense. But I've started to notice something maybe a couple years ago, roughly like 2016-ish, I want to say, but Hollywood started to really crank out so many sequels. Sure, sequels have been around for so long already, but it was especially throughout the 2010s where we saw reimaginings, remaking, and multiple sequels announced, and a lot of people were starting to get annoyed. It brought the question of if Hollywood was losing originality, and to that I say, not really. As I said, there's a reason why another movie was made. It was successful, so why shouldn't they do it again? Sure, we complain of unoriginality, but as a fan of film, isn't that what we want to see? If I watched a movie and enjoyed it, wouldn't I want to watch more of it? The problem is more so, can they produce a sequel in which the audience will like just as much? Another problem is that if a movie is too good, can kind of set a high expectation for the next installment. The audiences are usually disappointed when they didn't get the same feeling as the original, causing it to perform horribly in theaters. It's hard to do, but there are certain aspects that you can follow which could result in a successful sequel. Firstly, it must have the essence of the original while still holding its own. New but the same is what people like to call it. And that's where a lot of the sequels will fail at. They either stray too far away from the original material that it's not even recognizable or reminiscent of what they enjoyed, or they don't change at all and it's basically watching the same movie. I mean, people could like that, but if they're so similar, wouldn't you just want to watch the original? You'll get bored of it. Audiences know what they like. So all studios need to do is really finding that balance of remembering what made the movie great while still giving the audience something new. For Back to the Future, the audience loves the concept of time travel. So in the sequel, they time travel, but to the future instead of the past. It takes aspects of the first film and incorporates it in a way that uses it as a foundation to succeed. In this case, they used it for world building and storytelling. But as I said earlier, you must do this without relying too much on the original source material. The likelihood that you'll gain that same success as the first film is very slim. That's why it's important to kind of continue where the characters left off, while still leaving room for them to grow. So if you want to go for something different, they should definitely try it. It can work in some cases. Sometimes it can even surpass the original. Some movies that come to mind when speaking of actually good sequels would be Thor Ragnarok, Empire Strikes Back, Toy Story 3, The Dark Knight. All love just as much as the original, and examples of what you should strive for. When it comes to The Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan really uses the first movie as a way to get a sense of who Bruce Wayne is as a character, and using the sequel, that being Dark Knight, focuses more so on the Batman aspect, which is what the audience loved about the first film. What makes it a great sequel is that since we already shown the origin story for Batman, and we don't have to watch it again, and it allows the sequel to expand upon what we've already seen. The last Batman saga did poorly because it got wackier compared to its previous films. So Nolan takes that into account and gives a serious tone, giving comic book films a new outlook on the genre. They kind of created the golden standard of a superhero film, being one of the highest grossing films of that summer. Another great sequel, or finale really, Toy Story 3. I personally think it's better than 1 and 2. By the third Toy Story, we already get a sense of who the toys are, so when they give them the highest stake they faced, it gives the audience more reason to watch it. So much more emotion can be given because we grow attached to them. They're literally toys, but in the span of 15 years, we grow up with them. And in the two movies before, allowed the third to be a perfect conclusion to the series. The Empire Strikes Back also uses the first film to expand the world of Star Wars, and is a continuation rather than a new concept. Character development is important, and with that, Lucas's vision has it so it's evenly spread throughout the three films. It was all about the prior writing and a story that was meant to be in three parts. For Thor Ragnarok, it's a special case. The first two films were, to me, kind of meh, and that's where Ragnarok kind of reinvented itself. They grabbed aspects of what made other superhero movies successful and incorporated them into what most people think is the best Thor movie. Now, let's go over some of the bad sequels that I've seen. Some that come to mind would be Cars 2, Last Jedi, Toy Story 4. Kind of weird that I'm only using Disney examples, but now that I think of it, they're kind of notorious for bad sequels, which I'll be going over later. But what made these movies bad? There's multiple factors that could have happened. Like I said earlier, high expectations is one of them. I feel that especially now, where there are leaks and rumors, the audience is expecting a lot from these studios. I think it started with Marvel. They kept getting bigger and bigger, and they kind of peaked with Endgame, and it's hard to keep on going bigger, so they just compensate with fan service instead. Another reason can be sometimes it's just not the original intent of the director. It should have ended where it ended. Perhaps they expected that ending to end there, but studios want to create more money and force another one to be made. that's where some people feel the direction of sequels can be heading towards. They're kind of forcing new content when should have been done. An example of this is Toy Story 4. It has a well-written story, but Toy Story 3 was already a perfect ending to the franchise. I didn't see a need for another one. Another thing is that sometimes it just gets old. There's too many of them. The concept that I think best describes this has to be the Fast and Furious franchise. There's just way too many. They all just merge in my head. It's the same, but tries to outdo the last one, which is what I said to do, but they do it in a way that becomes repetitive and predictable. You don't get the same feeling as you did before. Hopefully they conclude the franchise by this decade. I'm sick of seeing trailers for the next movie. Another reason a sequel could be bad is that it's literally just a cash grab. At this point, they know the franchise will make money through it, so they just release anything. Not really any thought is given into these films when making them, so obviously they also won't get the same feel when compared to the original. As I mentioned before, Disney has been known for releasing what they call straight to DVD, which is basically code for we're not putting as much effort into this film as the previous one. Good old Disney. The movies will make money off that reliance of people wanting to see more of the original. It's always obvious when it's a cash grab. Now, let's go over full-on reboots. A reboot is basically a reimagining of the movie. It takes the current story and gives it a new take on it. This is different from a remake, as a remake will basically tell the same exact story without really changing anything, besides probably the actors. We see a lot of these trying to reach that nostalgic market. It's been a long time since they've been on the big screen, and they just want to show it to a new audience, or even the same audience that grew up watching it. Like a sequel, a reboot should distance itself just enough from the original that feels like a whole new experience watching it, or else it'll just be considered a remake. Some examples of reboots done right would be Jumanji, Jurassic World, and the Bond series. I think reboots became super popular in the mid-2010s. That's when Jurassic World and Force Awakens came out, became box office hits those summers. That's when waves of reboots came out more frequently, as they saw those films succeed. Overall, the movies should distance themselves just enough from the original that feels like a whole new experience watching it. Similar to sequels in general. That's when storytelling is really important for reboots. It's easy to get the audiences interested. It's just making the audience come back is a problem. It has to set itself apart from the other movies. Some examples that didn't do so well to me was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie in 2015, RoboCop in 2014, and Fantastic Four in 2015. All these had one thing in common: a lack of heart. They all felt very dull in terms of writing. And the only reason Fantastic Four was rebooted was so 20th Century Fox could keep the film rights. I remember watching these and had a pretty bad impression of the franchises. That's what can happen to many of these sequels. They can ruin a good movie just by existing. To conclude, sequels aren't necessary, but they do have a chance to enhance your movie watching experience. Hopefully this second episode was as good as the first one. Make sure to come back next week where I'll be talking about cinematic universes. Pretty interesting topic next week. That'll conclude the podcast for today. It's time to put out the campfire. I was your host, Odyssey. Thank you so much for watching.